a series in the book of 1 John. I'd never done it before, so I decided to do it, but when I guess I did, should have read it first. But it is just like packed with information. And so I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." And so it's just talking about a system that we know. And, you know, so often, you know, we try to assign, you know, God to our system, like, as if, you know, he came up with it. And it's really not. It's just what we know in this world, in this carnal world. And so we have a lot of stuff going on in our lives that do not come from God. And the world, the thing is, the world's passing away. And so you just have to understand that concept. We were in the world, and so we know we got to be in the world, those things. But just understand, it's passing away. It's like if you had a car, and you knew that, you know, maybe it's going to get you on this final trip, but then, I mean, it's headed to the junkyard. You know, and you're thinking, man, if this thing will get me through the month till the next payday, praise the Lord. You know, hallelujah, but it's going to the junkyard. How many of you would go down to Walmart and put a new set of tires on it? I mean, it's just, so we need perspective. Not that we don't live in this world and make choices in this world, but we just need to make sure we have the right perspective. This world is passing away. So before you get all juiced up about something in this world, just make sure you understand that you know it's not going to last. None of it. The world's passing away. The reality that we know is ending. You know, all our advances, all of our discoveries, all our science and knowledge will vanish. The 24-hour day, the way we support ourselves, the pageantry and the pomp that we participate in, Iowa State and the Hawkeyes football, all of it's going to pass away. Now, all of you were with me till I said that. No, not the Hawkeyes or whatever. In this world, we need things. In this world, we want things. We do all sorts of things to get things. But there is another kind of reality or place where living beings do not chase after things. I have no idea what it's like. I can't comprehend it, but I know that's where we're going. And that the way things are now is not going to last. It's going to pass away. You know, if a child blew a bubble, I guess I was thinking bubbles, so we had the wedding the other day, it was blowing bubbles. But I don't know if you ever liked to blow bubbles. I will admit, even as a boy, that I love to blow bubble. I mean, if you could get a really nice bubble going, it really didn't matter if it was like a bubble you blew or whether it was a bubble you'd blown out of your mouth, the bubble gum. Either one was good. But how many of you know the bigger the bubble, the better? All right, so one day, you know, you're out there, you know, you're a kid and you're out there and you're blowing bubbles. And I mean, lo and behold, you make the biggest, bestest, greatest bubble you have ever imagined. And you want your dad to see it and your mom to see it. You want everybody. You want to show, look at my bubble. Oh my God, and it pops. And so you have a child with it was super excited about their bubble, but then it burst, and so now you have a child who is super disappointed. And you find them. They have burst into tears, and they're crying, and they're beside themselves, and they're upset. What's wrong? My bubble popped. My bubble, I had a bubble, and I'm not here anymore. What kind of advice would you give to that child? And I guess it might be hard if they couldn't understand, but yeah, all bubbles pop. They're not gonna. I mean, how much gladness and anticipation and hope should you place in a bubble? Yeah, but my daddy was gonna love me if I have a big bubble, and you know, my mom and I was gonna be like famous and all these things. And so we project. And that's what we do with the things of this world. But they're just, they're not any more important or lasting really than a bubble. And that's what John's trying to say to us. It's okay to get excited about a bubble. It's okay to be happy about a bubble. It's okay to blow bubbles. It's okay to be fascinated with your bubble, but don't place your hopes of a good life, of security, of the things that come from, don't place that in a bubble. And so often that's what we do in this world, in the world that we know, that's what we do. And he's just telling us, John, he's just saying, look, that's going to pass away, so don't get too invested in that. You need to understand this. He's not telling us it's bad or those things. He's just telling us about how to position our heart and, you know, how we think about things. Go with me to Mark chapter 12, verse 16. It says, they brought the coin, and he asked them, whose image is on this? And whose inscription? And Caesar's, they replied. And then Jesus said to them, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. See, they were trying to trick Jesus by questioning him about taxes. And Jesus said, pay people what you owe. We kind of talked about that already earlier. You know, things like paying taxes don't exist in heaven. I don't know if you know that. When you go to tax, praise God, there's going to be no tax bill there. But those kind of things do exist here. But then after Jesus said, give to man what belongs to man, Jesus also said, give to God what belongs to God. Your hope for a future, your hope for a good day, belongs with God, not with a bubble. Bubble's fine. Be excited. God will give you a bubble. But your hope doesn't belong there. It belongs with God. Give to God what belongs to God. That's all that Peter's saying. Or is it John? Anyway, enjoy the good things that God blesses you with in this life, but don't put your hope that belongs with God in things of this life. Now, what would you think if your child said, I don't need you. My food comes from the grocery store. You know, you're telling them, you know what, if you don't straighten up, you're not going to have supper. I don't care. My food doesn't come from you. My food comes from the grocery store. Take that. You know, how would that go down? I don't need you for my clothes. Those come from the mall. I've been there. I know. And so the question isn't, now as parents, do you want your kids not to have clothes? Do you want them not to have food? No, we understand. We want them to have, and God wants us to have what our needs met also, but he doesn't want us to bypass him and think that he's not the source of those things. Like, you know, the world's this great big grocery store, this big mall that provides us all the things we need. I don't need you. These are not hard things to understand, are they? If you want to look at the world like a one great big market, great, but don't leave God out of the equation. Don't just know where your source is. Know where credit goes. Know where your devotion goes. Know where your care goes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm going to read this whole section here. It says, dear children, stick with me on this, okay? Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard from the heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And as for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you because those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has been, as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. And so he starts this section by stating that it's the last hour. And, you know, people are always, this is a freebie, by the way, people are always getting hung up and wanting to fight over what the times mean when they're mentioned in the Bible. You know, is a day a 24-hour period? Is 1,000 years 1,365 days with an extra day every 4 years? And so, is an hour 60 minutes? Because if it is, John was wrong. And I'm not saying the times don't always mean what they mean. But I'm just telling you that there are times that are listed in the Bible that don't always mean the exact time that they say they are. So I'm just saying, take a chill pill when someone doesn't always see something just like you. Doesn't mean they're going to go to hell. How do we know it's the last hour? Well, we know because people who fill our churches are kind of going over to the dark side. And you know, we talk about the church, we're not talking about Abundant Life Family Church, we're talking about the church in the world. I don't know if you know this, but man, there's some disasters going on out there. There's some churches out there that really, I don't know how they can, if they're really churches or not. I mean, they got a name on them, but inside, my goodness. And it isn't only the people who fill our churches, it's most of humanity. In other words, the world of people is starting to embrace more and more all the time lies. Just things that are not true. And you know, they're it's like we've all had the ability to tell a lie and believe it. You know, I don't know if you ever lied to your parents, but I remember sometimes I did some things that were so bad when my parents asked me about them, I lied and I made myself to believe it. Because if I believed it, I thought that I really wouldn't get punished. And so people are, but that's not just a kid anymore. I mean, this is becoming like an epidemic. You just make everything the way you want it to be to fit your agenda or how you want it to be, and then that's the truth. Lies of all sorts. People are determining what's truth based on their own biases. But all the lies they are embracing originate from the single lie that Jesus is not the Son of God. And that's the problem. If you can embrace that lie, if you can accept that, then you can accept anything else. I mean, it's the book's open. Go call it any way you want it to be. Before Jesus, mankind was in darkness. That's all a lie means. People just didn't know. They weren't able to know what the truth was. And so they just made it up the best they could, the way they thought it was. But they were in darkness before Jesus. By that, I just mean they didn't understand the truth of God. They carved out images and idols and worshipped them. They slaughtered animals for sacrifices. They observed rituals. But they had no clue who God really was. They didn't know God. They didn't really know anything about God. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting the Areopagus, and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are a very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship." They worshiped, they were very religious, they had no clue what they were worshiping, so they just made up anything they wanted. They had lots of gods and altars and such. They just made it up the way they wanted it, whatever they could conceive. And that's what I'm saying today. A lot of people are just doing that. He says, "So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you." So you're not ignorant anymore. You can know the truth. You can get squared away. You don't have to follow after some lie. It doesn't have to be some big mystery. Look how the world changed after Jesus was revealed. I mean, just historically. The Roman Empire fell apart. The Christian world emerged. New nations were built. People launched out on the seas to find new worlds. You know, people can argue all they want about how America was or was not founded on Christianity. But America is what it is because of the influence of Christianity. The whole world is different because of a man named Jesus that was revealed as the Son of God. It changed at that point dramatically. It has not always been the way we know it today. Today, missionaries are sent all over the world, and they come from all over the world. We don't just send missionaries to Africa. Africa's now sending missionaries to us. And so what's interesting about this is we can see that this seed, Jesus, when he was planted, you know, he brought this truth to reveal a truth to us that just started with a handful of disciples, that it branched out and spread its roots and began to touch every part of humanity all over the world. And so based on this, you know, Christianity should be reigning more and more all the time. Why would the world have been in darkness only to have Jesus come and then have the light burst forth and begin to spread around the world only to collapse? I mean, if Jesus was making such an impact in the world, why isn't, you'd think that would just continue until his coming, right? He wasn't just a flash in the pan. Why don't things even seem more Christian than ever? More godly than ever? Why hasn't Christ permeated more of the world, deeper into more hearts? You have to ask yourself these things and think about these things. And that's the point. How do we know it's the last hour? Because there's a great contraction taking place. Because that's not what's happening. The light isn't bursting forth all over the world. People aren't becoming more faithful to Jesus Christ. It just seems like, you know, and so that's how we know it's the last hour. You see, you could have been born in a time in the world when the kingdom of God was on the march, when nations were being taken over, when Christendom was taking over the thrones of kingdoms. But you don't. You live in a time when Christendom seems to be losing its influence more and more all the time. And lies seem to be gaining in their influence. And that's how we know it's the last hour, because of this great contraction taking place. But it isn't, just so you know the truth, it isn't a real contraction. Because the truth is, the kingdom of God has always been advancing. But it only looks like a contraction to us. And the reason that it looks like a contraction to us is because all of that Christendom that we thought was there, it really wasn't there. The kingdom of Christendom was never really what it looked like. And the reason it wasn't was because many people in the church were just worldly people following worldly desires. the church was full of people that weren't true believers. And it still is full of people like that. They're not really true believers. They're just in the church because they're looking for a worldly benefit. It used to be if you wanted to be a businessman and have any success, you belonged to the church. And so people, I mean, that's what we do. We just follow whatever it looks like is the current state of affairs. What's good? What benefits us? And so the church was so big, it was spreading so great, it was taking, it had so much influence that everybody wanted to be a part of that. They use the opportunity that Christianity offered to gain the things that they wanted when they can no longer, here's the deal, when they can no longer gain the profit by aligning with the church, they will leave. And that's what happened. People begin to leave and turn to lies because lies offer the opportunity that they're looking for. And it is the true believers who are left. And I will submit to you that the kingdom of true believers has always been growing maturing and spreading since the day Jesus Christ came to the earth. You may think that the church is faltering, but what you're really seeing is just the end of a charade. The false prophets, the false teachers, the fake believers, the wolves, the charlatans, the greedy, the self-absorbed, the selfish, they're being exposed. And the true believers are going to be the ones left there, and they're going to be shining like the morning star. When these people no longer get the choice seats, when they're no longer able to fill their purses, when they face the prospects of persecution, when being a Christian is no longer popular but shunned, they're not going to stay around. They are leaving by the droves because they never really were a part of the kingdom. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." See, the kingdom of God has been advancing. But many of those coming were not true members of the body. These people were following Jesus. He had been on one side of the lake and fed them miraculously. Then he crossed over to the other side of the lake, and all these people chased him around the lake and found him again. And he says, "The reason you're here, you're not like true disciples. You're not here to hear what I have to say. You're not here because you're the Son of God. You just want some bread. That's what your real motive is. All the rest of it is pretense. Praise Jesus. Where's my bread?" Many of those coming, in this kingdom that we saw advancing, many of them, those coming, they were not true members of the body. They were weeds. They were coming for earthly advantage. John chapter 6, verse 53, Jesus said to them, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and will raise, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." Now he's talking to those same people. He just told them, "You're just here because you want some bread from the grocery store. You're here because you want some bread that's been baked by men. That's what you want. That's the, you know," he just laid the motive of their heart bare. You see, the flesh and the blood of Jesus is truth. It's the Word of God. The things he said, that was bread. That's what gives life. That's where life comes from. When we think that life comes from bread that comes from a grocery store, you see, that's a lie. We're embracing a lie. We're darkened. We don't understand. His flesh, his blood, his word, the things he said, that's truth. That's bread. That's the bread that keeps us alive, not bread that comes from a market. But they didn't want bread from God. That isn't what they wanted. They would listen to him teach. They would sit at his feet, but it was the bread that came from Mary. That's what they wanted. They wanted bread baked by men. John chapter 6, verse 60, going on, he says, on hearing it, after Jesus told them what the true bread was that they needed, what was where life comes from, it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. I mean, who can accept it? All of those people chasing after Jesus, they didn't want the truth. They didn't want the word of life. They wanted something that came from this world, because that's where they thought the benefits come from. They wanted something for their flesh, something to satisfy their appetite. You know, we established that God provides us with all good things, that he's not opposed to us having bread baked by people, but our hope should be in the bread of life, not the pleasures of this world. John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus goes on, he says, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Because they wanted some bread from a grocery store. They wanted something from the world. They wanted a bubble that would last or whatever it was. They didn't want the life that Jesus was offering. They just didn't, that wasn't what was appealing to them. They would sit. And they would listen. There's people today that will sit and listen. They'll put offerings in the basket. They'll do all kinds of things. But what they're really interested in is just something for this life. Some bread from the grocery store. That's the bottom line to it. They don't really want the bread of life. That's just a means to what they really want. And so what I'm saying is, this is a story that was in the Bible back in Jesus' day. This same story happens over and over. It happens in our relationships. Sometimes we get in relationships just because, hey, we want some bread. We want a little mutual benefit going on here, whatever it is. We're not really interested in loving someone or sacrificing for them. We're not really concerned about them. We just want some bread. So, I mean, it happens in all sorts of ways. And this is just the truth, whether we like to hear it or not. This is how humanity is. But there is going to be what looks like a great falling away. And we're already seeing it. But what it really is just a shaking off. It's not bad at all. Of course, they aren't really disciples of Christ. And that's why they scatter. As Christians, we spend a lot of time bemoaning current affairs. You know, the church isn't what it used to be. No, it isn't. It's better. Because the fakes are going to be chased off. And the true believers can get up and get about their business. You know, in the last hour, many are going to choose their flesh over Jesus. People in mass are going to follow lies that suit their desires. And, you know, if they don't leave the church, they're going to bring those lies into the church. They're going to show how foolish they are, because they're going to choose things of this world over God. And when God is already more than happy to supply things, they're going to choose things over him, and they're going to be shown to be the fools they are, because they're going to end up with nothing. And those who stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ will not only get things, but they'll also receive eternal life. That's good news if you're a believer. It's not good to be a true believer in the kingdom of God and look like you're a second-rate citizen because there's charlatans running around that just want bread. When they get out of the way and you can be a part of the kingdom of true believers, that's a good day. That's a good thing. God wants to give us these things. All he asks is that we believe the truth over lies. 1 John 2:20. Here's the encouraging part. He says, but you, he's talking to you, believers. We've been talking about the apostate church and the weeds and all the stuff that's wrong, but here's what John says to you. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Praise God. You don't have to be blind. The true worshipers of Jesus are different. They will not shrink back and walk away when the enemy attacks. Joan talked about having the armor of God on today. And the reason is that they won't shrink back is because they've been given the Holy Spirit. And he whispers and he talks to us and he tells us the truth. He tells us what's going on so that we can understand the times that we live in. And we can understand when victory is ours instead of thinking that we're being defeated. He tells us when we're being tricked, when it's our flesh that's drawing us away, you know, instead of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You know, we have that guide. You are a blessed people. He says, you're the anointed one. You're the anointed one of God. He will keep you. Each of us should be practicing putting our trust in God as Christians. You know, while weaning ourselves off the dependency on worldly things. It's okay to want, you know, to enjoy the things of this world, but don't prostitute yourselves to them. Don't invest so much implied benefit to them when that benefit comes from God. Get your fear under faith when it looks like you're losing, because that's when it's hard. Then, while everyone else is embracing lies, you'll have the truth. And you have the truth. Don't think you're losing just because everybody's going the other direction. Simply because people are abandoning the truth, that doesn't mean you're losing. The purpose of John's letter actually was not to save souls, though that certainly would be desirable. But the reason that he's writing to speak to believers, to the true believers. He says, this is who I'm speaking to, true believers. You're the ones I want to help today. You're the ones that I want to set the record today. Here's what's going to happen. You need to understand these things so that you know that God has not abandoned you. You are not the unloved. You are the loved. John talks about the coming Antichrist. And it's not important that we are able to identify an individual as being the Antichrist, because he says there's many Antichrists. He says anyone who says that Jesus isn't Lord is an Antichrist. It's good for us to be able to identify the spirit of the Antichrist. And that's just the spirit of a lie. The spirit of the Antichrist is a deceptive spirit. It's a spirit that substitutes lies for truth. But because you have been anointed with the truth, you shouldn't fall victim to a spirit of lies. Listen, we all want something good for our flesh. You know, our flesh is. I mean, if you get a phone call and say you won the Gator at Hy-Vee, you're going to be excited. Woo, I won the Gator. Okay, our flesh likes those kinds of things. But I remember one time when I was a boy, and I was playing with my brother and some older boys, and they decided to play a trick on me. They told me they know where a treasure was. And what red-blooded American boy doesn't want to find a treasure? They knew where it was. A hoard of gold or whatever it was, and they said, well, all you got to do is just, they wouldn't tell me where it was, just follow us. They jumped on their bikes to ride off, and I jumped on my bike, and my older brother says, don't follow them, they're lying to you. And yet, in my heart, I had to know that they were lying, because why wouldn't my brother want to go get the treasure? But I wouldn't listen to it, because I wanted a treasure. And I wanted the treasure so much that I was willing to believe the lie. And that's how the Antichrist works. He appeals to that spot in your life where there's weakness, where there's a lust or a desire. and it can even be legitimate. But then he offers something fake for it in order to get you to turn to a lie. And that's the spirit of the Antichrist. And so you always need to understand when that grabs you. What happens to you when you think you're going to get something free? I was on Facebook the other day and suddenly this ad pops up and big backyard garden shed, 8x12 or something like that, $95. You seen those? I don't think so. But, you know, but that's hard for us. And I don't know how many of you have ever been scammed, but I've been scammed a few times, not on the internet, but I've been scammed. I'm not going to go into all those stories today, but it doesn't feel good. Sometimes it's just by a friend who promised us something and then he reneged later. Whatever it was. Why will we believe a lie that's a lie when we know better? Because we're drawn, and that's the spirits. We just need to understand that. And when that's at work in the church, we need to know that. God bless us. I believe in prosperity. I believe in healing. This is Abundant Life Family Church. We founded this church on the basis of abundance, but we need to know what abundance is, and abundance is not chasing a lie. Abundance is not prostituting yourself to the world, you know, instead of putting your hope in Jesus Christ. Abundance is not cowering in fear because it looks like things are going to collapse on you. Abundance is not getting disappointed and giving up your hope because you've received a bad report. We need to understand these things so we're not a victim to the spirit of the Antichrist. Because he's been working forever. And he worked in Jesus' day, and he's working in our day. And not only do we wrestle with these things on an individual, micro level in our own lives, but these are things that are happening in the church and the world as a whole. And God hasn't left you ignorant. He has his word. It's being spelled out right now verbally. Praise God, aren't you? Don't you love Jesus? John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. I'm not asking anyone to give up hope of a good life or good things. I'm just saying put your hope in the right place. 1 John 2:18, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. There may be an individual that becomes a chief deceiver. I don't know, but you don't need to focus on that. The truth is there are already deception and deceivers in the world. They're the ones who are threatening you. There always has been deceivers amongst us. I'm talking about people who are drawn to lies over the truth. We don't want to be a victim to that or be a part of that. We don't want to be one of those people. I know I lived as a sinner. And I'm telling you, you could get more reaction, you could get more devotion, you could get more people to follow you selling sin than you can selling Christ. It was easy to be a ringleader of sin. It was easy to talk my roommate into smoking pot. It was easy to fan flames. It's easy to do a lot of stuff. What was hard was to be a person of integrity. A person to pass by a prophet that was illegitimate. A person who wouldn't take advantage of someone just because they thought they could get something. That's hard. I didn't grow up being taught faith. Even though I went to church, they didn't teach that. I'm glad that I was taught faith. I was glad I was taught about speaking to mountains, all those things. I didn't grow up being taught grace. I'm glad to have been schooled in grace. I didn't grow up knowing about the power of the Holy Spirit and His gifts. I'm glad to be taught about those things. But while I was taught those things, I wasn't taught those things growing up. I was taught that Jesus was the Son of God. I was taught that I can invite him into my heart as my Savior. And Jesus did fill my heart. And he's baptized me with his Holy Spirit. And he has anointed me with truth, just like he has you. Not that he hasn't given these things to us, it's just a matter of whether or not we're going to choose to take advantage of them. I'm not going to go off to some strange teaching that dismisses who Jesus is or diminishes who he is. I'm not following those who would deny Jesus by the grace of God. I'm not following those who would say that there are many ways to God. Or let the desires of my flesh lead me into lies. Cause me to call my wife my enemy. Or any number of horrible things. To abandon my friends. Consider it not worthwhile anymore to give my life. Mostly, I'm not going to deny Christ. Simply because my flesh is not being satisfied the way that it wants. And I'm not chasing lies, no matter how appealing they are to my flesh. And again, all by the grace of God. You know, Jesus will spare you from becoming a victim of lies if you will trust him. He will warn you if you will pay attention. If you will just love his way and be patient for his hand over your way, then you'll find success. The life of a Christian is wonderful. But so often, we are just putty in the hands of lies and in the days that we live in. And, you know, this is exciting times to be a Christian full on bore. It's a horrible time to be a Christian that doesn't really know who they are or what they're chasing after, or to be chasing the wrong things. So I just hope you're encouraged that God loves you so much that he's going to keep you through these difficult times and hard times. And instead of seeing defeat, you'll see the victory in it. And you'll be celebrating. You'll know what's going on. Oh, that's just the branches being shaken over there. And sometimes it hurts and maybe we get beside ourselves, but you know, after we calm down and we realize that the bubble bursting wasn't the end of our life, we can gather ourselves together, get back up, raise our hands to Jesus, you know, and we can go at it again. Because he loves us. He doesn't discount us. He doesn't cut us off. We have a good God, a good Savior. Man, I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm just glad to be able to, the way that Jesus changed my life, I'm just glad to be able to testify him, to be a light, you know, to not always be so fearful. I've been fearful. Trust me, I face fears. I do things that probably are totally not unbrotherly all the time because fear. But I don't embrace it. I pray all the time, God, show me. Help me not to be a fearful man, because it just steals and robs, and it doesn't gain you anything. May we be fearless as Christians in the days that we live, to lift up his name, to live for him, to love him for his goodness. Isn't that good news? What a life it is to live as a Christian. Praise God. I hope you're excited by that.